You would please open your Bibles to Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16, beginning in verse 16. This is God's word. Once when we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a slave girl who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. She earned a great deal of money for her owners by her fortune telling. This girl followed Paul and the rest of us, shouting, "These men are servants of the Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved." She kept this up for many days. Finally, Paul became so troubled that he turned around and said to the Spirit, "In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her." At that moment, the Spirit left her. When the owners of the slave girl realized that their hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to face the authorities. They brought them before the magistrates and said, "These men are Jews and are throwing our city into an uproar by advocating customs unlawful for us Romans to accept or practice." The crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten. After they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. Upon receiving such orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. Not a very pleasant day in Philippi. They were doing what God told them to do, Paul and Silas. And as they went about their affairs, they were met by a demoniac, someone who was afflicted with an evil spirit. Now, that affliction, that problem, for her, was a way to make a living. I mean, you're looking at the circumstances, she had a gift. I don't know how it works. I know I can tell things about the future. How'd she do that? First of all, you need to understand that a lot of people who claim to have some sort of psychic gift or psychic ability or the capacity to communicate with the spirits of the dead and that sort of thing are total frauds. I mean, it is purely mind games. Don't think that everybody who's doing that, that's a demon. No, not necessarily. It may just be psychology. If I were to look at you and say, "Young man, I can tell that you're a very complicated person," how many of you would say, "Wow, he's so insightful. How does he know that?" Who in the room would not agree with being called complicated? I mean, we would not agree? Okay. See, you're complicated. You misunderstood the question. Complicated is a polite word for it. But, no, the fact is, all of us, if somebody described us as being complicated, would kind of say, wow. And if this person talks to you, "But I see that you have enormous potential." What are you going to say? "Nah, not me. Zero potential, very simple." No, we love that kind of thing. And a lot of what these charlatans do, these fakers, these frauds, a lot of what they do is just saying things that people want to hear. Okay? "I know you've been through some difficult times lately." Anybody in here not been... Now, pay attention. Anybody in here not been through difficult times lately? Everybody's been through difficult times. So if somebody says, I know you've been through some difficult times lately. It's like, wow, yeah. Okay. But I want you to know something good is going to happen to you.
Oh, wonderful.
There was a famous TV preacher whose slogan every week on his show was, "Something good is going to happen to you." And a lot of people thought that's just great because I want to know something good is going to happen to you. My brother and I were kids at the time, and we decided someday we would have a television ministry, and our slogan would be, "And remember, something bad is going to happen to you." Both statements are true. If you live, something good will happen to you. If you live, something bad will happen to you. Because you're going to interpret the events around you as either being a positive change or a negative change. But the fact of the matter is, most of the folks who do this stuff are just frauds. They're just faking. However, there are some people who do have the capacity to talk to spirits. Now, we're not talking the spirits of the dead. They may think it's the spirits of the dead. It's not the spirits of the dead that they're talking with. They're talking with demonic agencies. They're talking with spiritual powers. Remember what I said before about how if you and I die before Jesus comes again, the demons will still be around. Okay? The demons that are around today aren't new. They were around during the war between the states. Yes, that's what I called it. They were around during the Revolutionary War. They were around back in the Middle Ages. Same demons. Okay? People die. Demons continue to live until the time when they're finally thrown into the lake of fire. So they've got tons of information about your family history, about your childhood. I mean, their data bank is absolutely amazing. And they can come up with all kinds of fascinating stuff about you, your family, your relationships, things that happened to you. And if you find it just freaky, impressive, when somebody who communicates with them is able to access that data and tell you stuff that they had no way of knowing. Well, yeah, they did, actually. They're communicating with real, intelligent, spiritual beings that you can't see, and they probably, most of them, can't see them either. But they can communicate with them. Well, could I learn to do that? Yes, actually, you probably could. And you would be absolutely doing something God forbids, and you would become a slave to those spirits. They are not your friend. Okay? You need to understand that. Well, that sounds pretty neat. I mean, I could have a television show and tell people stuff. No, you need to understand, you're not the boss when you're in this situation. This girl was a slave girl. And she wasn't just enslaved by her local owners in Philippi. She was enslaved by that spirit. You think you're going to gain spiritual power by doing stuff God forbids. You don't gain spiritual power. You become a slave to spiritual power. It's like people who take certain drugs because those drugs enable them to do things. And then they find that they can't live and function without those drugs. And pretty soon, their whole life is about the drug. You do not want to mess with demons. They are vicious killers. And God says, don't have anything to do with them. This girl, living in a pagan area, had a connection with a demonic spirit. But our lesson for today is about the fact that this girl who had this spiritual connection, not everything spiritual is good. You know, I'm not really a Christian, but I'm very spiritual. Well, so was this girl. Okay? She was very spiritual. She was demon possessed. Got it? And you need to know that not every spirit is from God. So, this gal, and here's our lesson, did something that was problematic to the Apostle Paul. She caused trouble. How did she cause trouble? She followed them around shouting at the top of her voice, "These men are servants of the Most High God and are bringing you the way of salvation." Now, I want to ask you to take just a moment, analyze what she said, and tell me theologically what's wrong with that. These men, they were men, are servants of the Most High God. They were servants of the Most High God. And they're bringing you the way of salvation. They were bringing the way of salvation. They're telling you the way to be saved, is another translation. They were telling them the way to be saved. Okay, so I don't get it. What was the problem? The problem is that the devil will tell the truth when he can deceive people by doing so. The title of today's message is, "Can a Demon Tell the Truth?" If you want to call it, "Can the Devil Tell the Truth?" That's fine too. I have heard preachers say that the devil cannot tell the truth, that demons cannot tell the truth. Those preachers are not telling the truth. Because if I tell the truth in such a way that it discredits the truth, or in such a way that it sets me up to deceive people with something else that isn't the truth, then I am being dishonest and deceitful, even though what I said was true. A man was asked, "How do you get away with cheating on your wife?" His answer was, "When I come home and my wife says, 'Where have you been?' I look at her and I say, 'Oh, I was with another woman.' And she treats it like a joke. We laugh it off and I continue on with my affairs." I know a young teenage girl who came home from smoking pot. Her parents said, "Where have you been?" She said, "I've been out smoking pot." They said, "Oh, you have not." Why would they say that? Because they didn't want to face the truth. And by simply stating the truth, it made the truth seem unbelievable. If she said, "Oh, I haven't been doing anything," what would they think? "Oh, I bet she has." Now, let me tell you something. Satan will tell the truth in order to deceive. And the purpose of this demonic outcry was not to enhance the credibility of Paul and Silas. It wasn't because the demon was hoping that people in Philippi would repent. It was because the demon was confusing the truth with lies, so that the voice of the gospel simply becomes one more sound in a world filled with noise. She was shouting. Please remember what we said in our previous lesson about the unnatural noisiness that is often associated with the demonic. Remember, the guy who lived among the tombs, not only cutting himself with stones, but shouting and roaming day and night, restless and noisy. And when he runs up to Jesus and falls on his knees before him, he shouts at the top of his voice. So are you saying that if people are like shouting? I mean, like, I've been to some churches and the preacher was shouting. Does that mean if somebody's shouting that they have a demon? Not necessarily. Sometimes. I've been to some sporting events where people looked very much like the old ancient idolaters that we've seen from history past. And they behaved like it a lot, didn't they? Let me just tell you, demonic worship is still very much a part of our culture. Idolatry, God willing, we'll be talking about in our next lesson. And the fact of the matter is, those demons are still around. Now, this is very important to understand because a lot of times people just pay attention to the words. Now, sometimes people don't even pay attention to the words. But a lot of times people just pay attention to the words. And so a song that tells us something that is theologically acceptable, but does it in a way that communicates something that is very unacceptable, just opposite. I was riding in the car with my daughter the other day coming back from the grocery store, and we were listening to the Christian radio, and some female singer came on and started her song, and my daughter just turned it off. And I said, what was the problem? Because the song was just starting. She knew the song. She said, if that gal wants to have sex, she ought to do it in private. I thought, wow. What was she talking about? She was talking about the fact that some Christian musicians have cultivated a sound in their music that makes it sound rather like someone who's having sex. Really not appropriate. But yeah, I've heard some stuff like that too. In fact, we had a person who, her husband asked if she could please have a Sunday evening to do a special song for us because she was going to be launching a music ministry. She sat at the piano and she sang, and I wanted to go home and take a shower. What, Pastor, what are you talking about? Do you just have a dirty mind? No, I'm telling you, this person, who it turned out had a serious problem with immorality, sang in such a way that it really communicated things that are not appropriate for worship. You want to know what I'm talking about? Go on YouTube with adult supervision and get Marilyn Monroe singing Happy Birthday to President John Kennedy. Okay? How could you mess up Happy Birthday? Happy birthday to you. Got it? Now, what I'm telling you is this. There's more to the message than just the words. And what she was doing was discrediting the words. I have known parents who have completely discredited the message of the gospel by the hideous way that they treat each other and their children and their neighbors. I know a guy, the father of one of my best friends in childhood, came home, told his family, everybody sit down, I want to talk to you about God. And he began to say things that theologically were true, and when the kids started squirming, he began to beat them, and when his wife tried to interfere, he beat her to a pulp. What do you think that told those kids about the gospel? Look into the lives of people like, these are old people now, but like Shirley MacLaine and Warren Beatty, who were brother and sister, who grew up in a home, it was a mixture of violent abuse and the proclamation of the gospel. I think it's not unkind to say that they ran as far as they could get from the church, from the scriptures, from the gospel. Because the truth had been spoken in a context that made it impossible to believe. If I stand before you weighing 450 pounds and the same height I am right now, and I try and preach to you about self-control and self-discipline, okay? How's that going to go over? What's the message you're going to get from me? If I stand before you and I talk about peace and how you can have peace, are you going to get peace? I don't think so. And you need to understand that Satan will often say something that is true in order to get people not to believe it. The best friend of the LGBT community in America in the last 10 years was Westboro Baptist Church. Because Westboro Baptist Church traveled around the country holding up their signs and yelling, "God hates fags." And that became the image in many Americans' minds concerning anybody who says that homosexual behavior is sinful. Yeah, well, but they weren't speaking the truth. A whole lot of what they said was absolutely right on, straight out of the Bible. But unfortunately, if you take the truth and you mix it with lies, the overall effect is a lie. And you and I need to realize and exercise discernment and know that there will be people in the church, according to Scripture, there will be people in the church and in our culture, who will say things that are either a mixture of truth and lies, or it may be the truth, but delivered from a person who is not living the truth, and whose life will eventually cause people to say, "I've heard that before, and the guy turned out to be a fraud." Can the devil tell the truth? Well, what Jesus said in John 8:44 is that when the devil lies, he speaks his native language because he is a liar and the father of lies. Maria can speak English, but it's not her native language. When she speaks German, she speaks her native language. When the devil tells the truth, it's not his native language. When he lies, he speaks his native language. But don't think that just because something someone says is true, or because they take a verse from the Bible and they quote that, "Judge not lest ye be judged." Don't think that just because they say that or do that, that it means that that person is okay because they tell the truth. You understand how this works? Demons are very capable of saying something that is true and of quoting the Bible, but their motive is to get you to go against Scripture or to simply discredit Scripture so that you don't take it seriously. Please don't fall for that trick. They've been doing it a long, long time. And generation after generation of human beings have fallen for it. So you're saying that demons can tell the truth? Yes, in a dishonest way. So what was dishonest here? What was dishonest was the fact that she was not on the side of the gospel. She was known as one who had a spirit that enabled her to tell the future events. Well, how could she know about the future? Do demons know about the future? They know a lot of stuff about the future. And I'll tell you one thing that they don't like to be reminded of about the future, and that is they're all going to burn in hell. They know that. They also can communicate with each other, and they know that this person said 3 days from now, I'm going to go to thus and such a place. As I said, they've got a tremendous database. Yes, they know what you had for breakfast this morning, and they know who your grandmother is. Okay? And what her name was. Even if you don't. You understand that? So they can tell you something about, and it's like, oh my goodness, and I went on Ancestry and it turned out that was true. How did that woman know that? Have you seen Pee-wee's Big Adventure? How many of you have not seen Pee-wee's Big Adventure? Oh. Culturally deprived. Someday you must see Pee-wee's Big Adventure. He goes to a fortune teller. And the fortune teller, because he's looking for his bicycle that was stolen. Okay? And he's got to know where it is. And the fortune teller, when he's saying, you know, where is it? And the fortune teller is trying to come up with an answer, because a fortune teller is a total fake. And the fortune teller says, I see the Alamo, because there was a sign that said Alamo. It's in the basement of the Alamo. So poor Pee-wee travels all the way to San Antonio and endures a tour of the Alamo. And when he gets outside afterwards, he says to the tour guide, who is priceless, by the way, he says to the tour guide, so when do we get to see the basement? And the tour guide said, basement? There's no basement at the Alamo. And everybody else laughs at Pee-wee too. And of course, our hearts break for poor Pee-wee. Not. He's a ludicrous character. But let me tell you something. There are folks who can tell you stuff about where you left your headset, about all kinds of things. But don't be impressed. And do not try to communicate with those spirits. I've had to help a number of people over the years who thought they could just dabble in this stuff that God forbids. And it would be fun. It's like getting a little bit of venereal disease. You don't want any. It's like having just a little bit of cancer. Cancer takes over. It's like thinking we're going to have just a little kudzu in the yard. We've already talked about that. It'll bury your car. You don't want to mess with demons. You don't have to be afraid of them. We'll talk about that, God willing, tomorrow. You don't have to be afraid of them. You need to regard them as poisonous snakes that don't belong where you are. When poisonous snakes show up at my house, I kill them. Is that clear? I don't say, oh, well, the snakes were here before the white men. Okay. I say, that one's dead. Because it's my yard. God gave that land to me. And I'm going to exercise dominion over that property. And that means non-poisonous snakes are welcome. They eat mice and poisonous snakes. Poisonous snakes had better not show their face. Got it? When I was in high school, there were some Wiccan girls in our school, one of whom had a Baptist preacher for a father. They were very much involved in Wicca. What is Wicca? It's a form of witchcraft. And apparently one of the English teachers was also involved in Wicca. That's the only explanation I can come up with as to why they decided they wanted to do a unit on witchcraft for the students. And all the English classes, no matter who the English teacher was, it had been voted by the department they were going to have this unit on witchcraft. and they were going to invite these two girls from the high school to teach about witchcraft in the classes. Well, one of those teachers was a Christian, and she said, I can't opt out of the classes, but I want to do two things. Number one, I want you to come and speak to my class about witchcraft and the demonic. And secondly, on the day that those witches are there, I want you to come and sit in the class and pray. I said, I'll be glad to. So I went and I did a lecture on witchcraft. And then, on the day that those two girls were supposed to show up and give their lecture, guess what? They decided they weren't coming. You know why? Because the teacher said, you need to know that Jim Wood's going to be in the class that day. And they said, well, then we won't come if he's going to be there. Now, why? Because those spirits know that Jesus is greater. There's nothing magic about me. But I'll tell you something. Christ in me has authority. And Christ in you has authority. If you are trusting in Jesus Christ, you do not have to be afraid of demons. You don't have to, Pastor, what says even in church? People, yeah, well, that's because the Bible says we're going to encounter that kind of thing. But you don't have to be afraid. You just need to be sold out to Jesus. Is that clear? Don't be afraid. Just be sold out to Him. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the truth of your word. Thank you that when the Apostle Paul, after days of this loud demoniac following them around, finally turned and cast that spirit out of her, that spirit had to leave. And with it, her ability to make money for her masters. Lord, there are many people who are in bondage today because other people want to exploit them. I pray that you would set the captives free. I pray that you would deliver your children from the forces of darkness, even as Jesus taught us to pray, deliver us from the evil one. We thank you, Lord, that Jesus Christ has conquered, and that there on the cross, he overcame the powers of darkness. Thank you that Jesus Christ is Lord. We worship you. In Jesus' name, amen.